when I'm a human fly. I feel it ill while I say bubba, and it's just because. Well, there's no human flies out there, but there's lots of March flies, as it turns out. And John Hudson from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a biologist with the Habitat Restoration Division, is with me. John, thanks so much for tuning in and coming online here.
Glad to be here.
Well, tell me all about all of these flies that are just thick in people's teeth and in people's hair and everywhere on windshields in general right now. What is going on?
Well, there's certainly tons and tons of flies out during the summer months, probably hundreds of species out there right now, but there's a particular family of flies that are extremely abundant, and those are the March flies, as you said. And they're so named because they tend to emerge during the spring and early summer, and they're coming out like gangbusters right now. I've never seen them in such densities.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they're just so notably everywhere right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what conditions cause their mass emergence or increase their winter survival, but they're really taking off, and they're about a third of an inch long. It's interesting, the males and females are quite strikingly different. The males have these huge compound eyes that take up the entire surface of the head, and the females have these tiny heads with little eyes that are unusually flattened, very unbelievably flattened heads. And the females also have a bit of yellow or orange on their back or their legs, and their legs are armored with these stout spines that they use to dig holes in the ground to lay eggs.
Wild, all able to be seen under the microscope, but fortunately they're not big enough to see with the naked eye all that detail, right?
I mean, right. If you walked up to a cow's parsnip blossom right now, you'd probably see hundreds of them, and with a magnifying lens, you can see these females crawling around with their orange and black coloration, with these spines on their back and on their legs.
And what's their life cycle right now? Are they just looking for food or mating, or what's going on, and how long do they typically live in this cycle?
Great question. They're probably one generation per year. They're in their mating phase right now, so the males will swarm in great numbers. The females will be attracted to these swarms, and they'll find a mate, and then they will connect end-to-end at the tips of their abdomens. And you can see them flying around attached in this way, and they're also called love bugs for that reason. And once the eggs are fertilized, the female flies off, finds a nice place to dig a hole in a rotten stump or in the ground, and lays these eggs. They hatch in a few weeks. The larvae then go about their business of eating decomposing plant matter, rotten wood, the roots of plants, and then they overwinter as larvae. And then in the late winter, early spring, they transform into the adult fly. After going through a pupal phase, much like a caterpillar goes through that cocoon phase before turning into a butterfly. And so now we're seeing them popping out everywhere, and they're a tremendous boon to the local food webs.
That was my next question. I mean, the fly catchers and all the birds out there must be absolutely having a field day.
I saw a picture that Bob Armstrong sent me with. It was a warbler with a beak filled with maybe 60 or 70 of these little flies. We're also seeing them in the stomachs of sockeye salmon and coho salmon that are migrating out of Auk Lake right now. We have some researchers here in the office looking at their diets, and they're filled with these flies. And so lots of things out there eating them as they fall to the ground spent. They only live a few days after mating, and then they just die, and you can see them in large rafts floating around on streams and lakes and other places.
Probably still some food value to fish and that kind of thing, even in that form.
Yeah, if I were a fish, I'd be happy to take them off the surface.
Leftovers, yeah. Well, and they're called March flies. Do they tend to have this sort of a large bloom in March in, like, the lower 48? Is that why they're called that?
That's what I understand. I guess the first person that noticed these flies happened to be somewhere where they emerged in March, but it would depend on where you are in the world in terms of when they emerge, but definitely late spring, early summer type insect.
Yeah, of course, we hear about mayflies in lots of different areas, and I've even seen some posts on the web of people like in Michigan and stuff like that with mayflies all over the place right now. They're a little bit larger animal, though.
Yeah, and those, of course, are aquatic insects, so the larvae live in the water instead of in the soil like our March flies.
Now, I've noticed what I think, or my dog at least has noticed, these other flies that are around right now, which are these kind of little black biting flies.
Yeah, those are probably black flies in the family Simulidae, and notorious pests worldwide. They are an aquatic insect. The larvae are actually bowling pin-shaped, little maggot-like things that live in streams, and they can reach the highest density of any aquatic insect, hundreds of thousands per square meter. And they make their
per
living
per square
by,
meter?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Man, I don't want to be in that three-foot section of water.
And in the larval form, they're perfectly harmless, but they do transform eventually into the black fly, and that's a blood-sucking insect. They have these chewing mouth parts that they use to get their food. They don't pierce you with the sucking mouth part like a mosquito might, but instead they have chewing mouth parts. And they actually secrete an anesthetic before they do that into your skin, which deadens that area, of course, and then they chew through your skin to get at the capillaries, and then they secrete a protein called semulin, which is an anticoagulant, and that will actually allow the blood to flow without clotting. And when they fly off after filling their abdomen full of your blood, you'll continue bleeding from that wound.
That's just such a pretty picture you just painted.
Yep. Awful, awful insect.
Awful insect.
In Africa, they carry a parasite that causes blindness, so they're pretty serious pest in Africa.
Different than the tsetse fly, but that kind of blood-sucking, carrying blood-borne illnesses.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Well, any other insect blooms that we could, what is it called when insects all of a sudden are everywhere?
Mass emergence.
Emergence. Okay.
I was reading about these March flies. They're actually attracted to automobile exhaust, and the bodies of females crashing against the windshields of cars can actually create quite a visibility issue as their eggs spatter across your windshield.
Another global warming problem. We had not foreseen, but the exhaust from our cars.
Right.
Drawing them in.
And I heard yesterday a cyclist had their helmet filled with these bugs as they rode home, and as he fiddled with his helmet while riding to get them out, he had a major crash, hit another cyclist, and went over his handlebars.
Oh, no.
So beware the March flies.
Beware. They're out to get us. Absolutely. Well, do you know of any other mass emergences that kind of happen? I mean, I know, of course, mosquitoes happen every year, and then the sort of no-see-ums that happen every year. Is there stuff, other stuff like that that maybe we should be on the lookout for?
Well, on a positive note, with the good weather showing up this weekend, our dragonflies should be emerging from the ponds and the lakes around Juneau. This is a beneficial insect. The larvae are aquatic. They eat little fishes and other insects, and then when they emerge as adults, and that should happen in great abundance, try Rotary Park, for example. You'll see damselflies and dragonflies emerging probably this weekend as the weather gets into the 70s, and they'll begin their business of flying around and eating black flies and no-see-ums and march flies. So thank goodness for the dragonflies.
Can you just tell me the difference between damselfly and dragonfly? I know when you look at them, damselflies sit with their wings closed and dragonflies sit with their wings open. But other than that, I guess damselflies only have two wings, right?
And yeah, obviously you haven't purchased a copy of my book, Dragonflies of Alaska.
Andy. Oh, well, tell me all about it, John.
And that's a field guide to the dragonflies of Alaska by Bob Armstrong and myself. And damselflies hold their wings when at rest over their bodies. Dragonflies hold their wings out horizontal beside their bodies, so...
Is there an evolutionary difference? Is one more ancient than the other, or do we know those things?
Good question. In general, dragonflies are very, very ancient insects and damselflies. 350 million years they've been around. And the damselflies and true dragonflies are different suborders within the order of insects known as Odonata, or the dragonflies. So.
All right. Well, so the dragonflies will save us.
Yes, soon.
Soon.
The weather hasn't been conducive for about a month and a half to their emergence. They're kind of warm weather insects.
Right, but for some reason, the weather has definitely been conducive for the March flies, which are absolutely everywhere right now. And John Hudson, biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Habitat Restoration, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you calling in.
It's been fun. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks so much.